What's up?
Hey, what up, man? Hey, I didn't show you this yet, but
Oh shit. That a Caleb jersey? Oh, that is gorgeous. That's the throwback I'm talking about too.
old school joint.
Hell yeah.
I'll drop this off sometime.
That's what's up, man. Appreciate you coming through with that, being a man of your word, as I knew
Yes,
you would be.
sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Took a little while because I had to make sure I got the right one.
Oh, I feel you. That's There was no rush, but the wait was absolutely worth it.
Yes, sir. I had to get you the future, man, because I know he's gonna go crazy this year with his new head coach.
Oof, I'm hoping so. I'm praying for it, but not getting ahead of myself. We'll see.
Oh yeah, man. But speaking of football, my little brothers were in town for a football tournament on Saturday. Hence why I have this like half face tan.
Oh, you're out there in the sun.
I had a hat on, and so
Side.
But yeah, it was man, it's always nice watching them play, and it's such a crazy experience for me because it's almost like a full circle moment because it's like it was just yesterday I was with these kids in the backyard teaching them how to run
Right.
routes, and to see them do it at a decently high level and breaking dudes off like making dudes touch earth like that. It was just a joy to watch, and I'm always my brother's biggest supporters, and
Right.
they know that. Regardless of what happens, I could chew them out, but at the same time, when they make the play, I'm the first one there celebrating with them.
Hell yeah.
They know what it is, but so it was good seeing them again, man. And yeah, that was pretty much my weekend.
Nice. Shout out to the little bank bros. Yeah, man. Gotta have them back on the show. They're great. They're great for ratings too. Fans love them. They're
You know
funny.
what? Let's have him back on for some. We'll figure something out. Maybe for the playoffs.
Anytime. Anytime. They know
The
they're
playoffs.
always welcome on the Bank Bro show, man. Absolutely. Well, that's a fun weekend, man. I was in the same realm with the sports thing. I told you the soccer season's kicked into gear, man. But like there was, like I said, I'm not coaching. None of that shit's happening. But this past weekend there was a close call of sorts. So I was chilling against the fence, getting ready for the game to start, and Sid's team is, gathering themselves kind of behind in the open area. That's usually where they start to practice a little bit, kick a ball around before they go into the game, right? All the parents are kind of hanging around the shit. And it's like, I think the game started at like 11 or something, and it's like 10:55, and their coach isn't here. And we're all like, that's a little weird. What the fuck? And so we're all standing, and I'm like, I'm chilling. I wasn't even paying attention. Everybody, I can hear people like a clamoring behind me. And then all of a sudden I hear Sid go like, well, my dad can coach us. And I tell you, bro, like it was out of a dramatic Disney movie where all of a sudden you start hearing the whole team go like, yes, Coach Sanchez is still here. And my back is still turned to all this. And so Rachel looks at me and she goes like, and in the most dramatic slow, I was just like, what? What's happening? Like, you gotta coach us, Dad. I'm like, what do you mean I have to coach you? I gave this life up. And they go, no. Our coach isn't here. We gotta play in like 2 minutes. And all the parents are like, yeah, go ahead. And I'm like, but no, I got almonds. I had a drink. I had almonds. I was ready to vibe and watch a game. What? And so about the maybe 30 seconds it took me to work up the nerve to be like, son of a bitch, here we go again. Then the coach shows up. He goes, I'm here. I'm the first one to go, look, she's here, everybody. And then they all scatter out and go to the game. And I'm just like, oh, thank the fuck Christ. Oh my God. I almost got sucked back in, bro, without even trying. I was just standing there. I
It
was
just
just
keeps
standing
finding
there.
its way to you.
It just keeps finding me, man. Oh God. It was a good game. They came back like they were down 2-0 at the half, came back and tied it up for the finale. So they fought.
Two-two.
They 2-2. They fought to a draw. And I said, that's a great comeback. But if I was coaching them, that would have been 8-0 on their side. Would have got mollywopped. So thank God that didn't happen. But that was, yeah, I had a close call. Very close.
Well, thank God you ain't have to coach again, and thank God you could enjoy your high with your almonds.
Oh, there were smoky almonds too, man. That was a nice. The weather was perfect too. Oh, nothing better than like a 60-degree day and no bugs. catch me outside all day. That's my.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
I'm uncomfortable, but like that was like perfect.
Mm-hmm. Saturday was a nice day.
Very nice day. I will tell you, speaking of keeping on the sports idea, you've inspired me. I'm being real about that. Your recent foray into baseball and the passion behind it, that every time you're talking to me now, you're like, it's about baseball. You're like, did you know about this? What about this? You see this fucking homer? I'm like, damn, like he's really into this shit. It's inspired me a little bit. And I know I talked about like getting into basketball again this season, and that didn't fucking work because that basketball schedule is just, I can't. It's crazy. But you have inspired me to pick a new sport and try to bury myself in it and just let it wash over me and find out everything about it and bet on it and find a team. And I was going through a bunch of different choices. I was even asking fucking Kalina to help me out with this shit. Like, what do we do? You know, what kind of
that useless motherfucker?
I know. You gotta use her for something, man. It's in the budget now. We gotta use her. And it dawned on me after a while. It's been staring me in the face the entire time. It's soccer. But for real, though. For real. And I was like, I started looking. I got into the rabbit hole of this shit. And, you know, it's tough for an American fan because that's such a European, international, worldwide sport. Like, how do you connect to a fandom? I haven't even been to Europe. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm always into the stories behind what makes a fan a fan. And so I did a bunch of rabbit hole research on that shit. And the shit that I got from it was like, if you're looking to be an American fan of soccer, football, excuse me, just watch the games. Like, don't pick a team and then try to follow them and be bummed out when they suck. It's like, just watch all the soccer you can. And then whatever team you enjoy watching is your team. Just generally. I said, okay, cool. So I decided to start taking my Saturday mornings, which, because soccer schedules are insane too, because they're super early. Mm. But I'm already up anyway, getting the kids ready, getting ready to go to soccer in general. Not to mention, they love it too. So this is teaching them shit that they can then use in the game. So yeah, I have begun my journey into becoming a legitimate football fan. And I had you to thank for that. It's about time I try something new.
Hey, everybody give CJ a round of applause, man. Dubs in the chat, everybody. Dubs in the chat.
We'll see how it goes. Watch me pick the shittiest team. Just
so you haven't picked a team yet then?
No. I'm just gonna watch until one resonates. I have a couple that's in the wheelhouse that I'm kind of liking so far, just from clips and things I've seen, but haven't made a decision yet. I'm not loyal to anybody, but I am trying to just fucking deep dive into all of it and just see what vibes and what gels.
Yeah. See, with me, it was easy. I'm Detroit everything. I'm a homer. So yeah. It's Tigers. And it just happens we're fucking cold.
Now you're cold. Now they're cold. Watch this.
When I start wanting to watch them, exactly. They're fucking good.
Ask your fellow fandom how it's been the last decade. You'll see how similar it was to the Lions.
Well, it's good to see you guys on the other side.
There you go. I can't, at least with the with baseball, I can't like hate on the Tigers because like I'm a Brewers fan, but it's not like they've won anything at all. So
hey, the Brewers are up like 5-0 right now.
Yeah, now they just gave up like 9-0 like yesterday. So like,
we nine zip.
Yeah, so I'm saying like it's crazy. So Brewers are just as butthurt about lost championship opportunities as anybody else right now. So, and they've had horrible luck. Don't even get me started on Devin Williams breaking his fucking hand right before the playoffs started when the Brewers on a fucking hot streak and they went on the first round. I couldn't believe it. That was like the highest championship aspirations I've seen the Brewers have in a decade. And we squandered it because dude went to a party and got drunk and punched his fucking a wall. Are you kidding? But anyway, see, I already got fired up about it. But yeah, that's the goal there.
Man, we need to have separate segments where you talk about soccer and I talk about baseball.
I love it.
But we'll mix that in there later down the line.
I like that. Purely educational, of course.
Purely educational because, I'll get into that later.
Oh, my gosh. I'm fucking, what else did I do this week? I'm like sore. You know what really sucks, dude? Don't get old. Don't fucking get old, man.
Well,
I am
30.
Like, man, the next 10, work on reverse aging. Because I'm like, I've been like sore in like my upper like chest muscle and shit. And I'm just like, I know I'm not doing it. I mean, the last couple of days, I'm just like, oh, my back hurts. And I'm like, I know I'm not doing anything. I'm like, I'm not out there doing, I'm not performing anything. I'm not playing sports. I'm not,
yeah.
I don't go for walks. I work at home, whatever. And then I was thinking my way through it, you know, thinking back, I'm like, why would my like muscle, or not when I breathe or anything, but just like sore, like I went, like I lifted too much or something. And I'm like, it dawned on me like yesterday or 2 days ago. And I said, did I get this from fucking? Am I at the age now where I get sex injuries? Like I think I'm doing too many reps.
Too many push-ups.
Well, my lower body's fine. I think I'm doing too many of the fucking push-ups, bro. Because I'm like, why? It's the only thing that's sore is that. And that's I know that's the only thing I've been doing physical. And that's been multiple fucking days a week. But in the last couple of days, I'm like, I think I'm at the age pushing 40. And this is me now. I get injured doing normal physical activity. This shit fucking sucks, bro. If I was going to jump into a midlife crisis, this injury is like the spark. I kind of want to buy a nice car right now. Like, what the fuck is going on? I think I got it from fucking. I'm old, bro. This is me.
That's an amazing way to go out.
It makes no other sense. I'm like, I'm not having heart conditions. Like, I'm good health-wise. Like, what?
My shoulder gave out on me. How? Just fucking.
Yeah. I honestly,
fucking my wife.
I wish it was a flex, but I'm over here like, like damn, I gotta take it easy. I'm there now. Yeah. I'm that guy. This sucks.
Yeah, I fucked my wife so hard, I popped my own shoulder.
Literally, I think I did. Oh my god, man! I hate getting old. Getting old is the worst, man. I don't know if you've noticed. I don't even drink anymore. Like I stopped. It's a bad idea for anybody. Oh my god, that's too fucking funny.
Oh shit,
one more thing that we did do though. So I was talking with the wife, and maybe about a week or so ago, and I don't know how the conversation came up, but she was like, she's never completed a video game before, ever. And I said, how is that? I know she's not a gamer, but I'm like, how is that possible? You've never actually beaten a game. And she goes, I never really played. I played like Tetris and, you know, World of Warcraft, things that don't really have endings to them.
Yeah.
Right. And I said, okay. So I said, I think I need to make it my new mission to find the perfect game for you, because I've seen you game and there's no skill. But something with an easy story that you can finish, at least to hang your head on something. Something.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was racking my brain for days. And I'm like, it can't be a platformer like Mario because she can't jump for shit. No, it's got to be challenging enough to keep her attention, but not punishing. And it's got to be like cute and colorful, has a full beginning, middle, and end of a story, but she can go back to it when she's bored, pick it up whenever she needs to. And then, man, it hit me like a lightning bolt attached to a brick. There's a perfect game for that. It's Pokemon. Pokemon. It's perfect for her, and it's a little modern too. I said, if it can't be the old ones, even though I like those better, because those sprites and things, the graphics, they're not gonna keep her attention. So it's gotta be modern, but you can't do the modern Pokemon stuff because like that's open world shit and she'll give up in 3 seconds. Way too much. But I was like, I think they make new age of the old versions for the Switch. And there was Shining Pearl, and the other one was Diamond or something, whatever that remastered Diamond was on the Switch. I said, it's perfect. They're like chibi size or cute. I don't like when they're cute like that, but it's perfect for her. Little cute sprites and stuff. And like, it's colorful and fun and music. You can do the Pokemon contest too with the beauty pageants and shit. I was like, this is perfect. So I pitched that to her and she was like hesitant at first, but I went ahead and bought it. I said, it's already in the cart. It's already on the way here. Like,
so if you don't play it, I'm going to play it.
Like, we're going to fucking play it no matter what. Tell me why she came home from work at like 11:30 p.m. and she ended up playing that shit for like 3 hours. She already caught like 6 Pokemon and she already has her first gym badge, bro.
Damn.
It took 3 hours and I think she's playing it right now because she's in the room with the kids. And I told her right before we started the show, I said, you know, the great thing about the Switch is you don't have to just sit and play on the TV. You can take that to bed and just hang out and play it. She goes, I'm going to do that right now. I said, yeah, you are. Like, she's on a journey right now, bro. So, yes.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Eat a couple gummies and
It's
you're in your own world.
perfect. Right. It's perfect. It's perfect. And it hand holds her. Like, I'm helping her through the whole thing, but it kind of, holds your hand when you go through that kind of game. So it's very nice. I think Sid's interested too. I'm like, you know what? Watch your mom play. And if you're really interested, I'll buy you Diamond. And I'm gonna make you her Gary Oak. I'm gonna turn her into a champion on the rival side. I'm just gonna train them both.
You're gonna make a Professor Oak.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God. So I'm very excited. I'm
Man,
quite
that's dope,
excited on her
man.
journey.
You guys gotta beat one Pokemon game now.
Exactly. Like, I've beaten them all, and it's always
Yeah.
been a couple, but the rest of them, I'm like,
Oh,
gotta
so
be
he's
getting
played
sets
before.
up. Yes, he started his journey about maybe 2 years ago, and he played all through Pokemon Shield, and I think he played mostly through Scarlet. So again, more of the newer age ones, but like, yeah, I walked him through that first game, and he's well versed now. He knows what he's doing now, so he can help his mother. But the other two, yeah, those are rookies. We gotta get them up. And then I'm
That's
gonna
dope.
crush all three of them. So, it's family
Yeah.
bonding. It's the natural order of things.
That's dope, man. Having a new world order in your house all because of Pokemon.
Absolutely. That's the only way to do it, man. All right. You know what time it is. It is the tick of the week.
Oh, shit.
This one comes to us from it's Courtney Michelle. It's called The Plight of the Extrovert. This specific TikTok, I feel the most seen. This is me. This happens to me so many times, and my wife knows it and makes fun of me for it. But like, now the world will know what I go through on a daily basis. And it's usually when I'm alone in public. It's never when the wife is with me. It's when I'm alone in the wild. This fucking happened. Here we go.
When you make friends with the wrong person in public.
Yes, can you believe that?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I had the exact same thought. It's so unfortunate. It is going fast, though. I haven't been in here for very long, so.
Long lines.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think they'd have, more people working on 5 p.m. on a Tuesday, busy night, you know?
Yeah, it's
There's all this
hard.
talk about there being no jobs. Everyone's complaining, no jobs, no jobs, the economy, whatever. But nobody wants to work. And I think that's the real problem. Everyone's just so lazy. You got all these people on welfare taking my money, my hard-earned money, and who don't want to work. They just want to do drugs. Excuse me. Hi, yeah, could you actually hop on one of these registers or something? Grab someone from the back. I'm sure there's somebody back there taking a break, but they could be out here while they're not stuffing their face, if that'd be great. We're actually all really excited to talk
Oh,
about it.
so this
And
I
the
know
best
this
I could talk about it
person.
is how we were so pissed off. Gosh, everyone is so lazy. I think it's the aliens. I think it is. I think it comes down to the aliens. They've infiltrated the water system. They've gotten the water system. They're in people's brains. They're sucking people's brains out.
Yeah. Yes. She, I am her. We are the same. And never fucking, I don't care where I'm at. If it's a grocery store, the post office, a wedding, it always happens to me. I don't know what it is. I think I have a friendly face. I have a very calm and relaxing demeanor. People can trust me. I understand. I'm a good person. Every fucking time I get these people who just decide to try to connect, and it's always with shit that I don't care about. It's with shit that I really don't agree with. But for some reason, they think I would, and that I want to sit there and listen to you talk about it for the next 10 minutes. And at the wedding, for example, for 3 hours, 3 hours, I'm not the one. I understand that I'm friendly. Keep that shit to yourself, for the love of God.
Oh man, I'm glad I have a come off like a dickhead, so
I couldn't do it if I try giving off the negative energy to keep away, like a porcupine or something. It doesn't work, especially if it's a social function. Again, I'll bring it up to the wedding. I'm sure I talked about it on the show. There was a wedding once where I was with my wife and a few friends. They all went to the bathroom or something. I got stuck talking to the DJ for some fucking reason because he decided our table was the fun table. And that turned into me sitting there listening to him talk about video games that I don't give a shit about for 2 hours while my wife and her friends were off gallivanting, having a great time. I'm too polite to just get up and just walk the fuck away. At least at that point, I was. So I just sit there until she finally remembers that I'm not next to her and then comes back around to try to save me. Oh, we gotta go. Sorry. Great, but I will just be stuck there in hell for hours because of people like that. And I'm not even that extroverted. I just have a friendly face. I hate it so much.
That's what God bless you with.
Oh, we're blaming God for this? Sounds about right.
Hey, man, you're blaming him.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Oh, my God. Okay, we got a lot to talk about in this fucking show. Let's get the show on the road. Kalina, let's hit that fucking music.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends, rely on the Fake Bros.
Welcome to the Bank Bro Show, folks. I'm Siege. That's Rizzy. You know, back at it like a crack addict. We got a lot of basketball to speak about because the 2025 NBA playoffs are about to begin, folks. Starting right now as we speak, the play-in tournament is going on. So I want to look at the full breakdown, sir. We do this every year now. Look at the brackets, make our predictions, pick a winner. I would like to start in the East just for now, but I'm going to switch to the West a little bit later because obviously we got some higher stakes when it comes to analysis. But let's do a quick preview of the Eastern Conference, including the play-in tournaments. The number 7, Orlando Magic, and the number 8, Atlanta Hawks playing right now. The number 9, Chicago Bulls, again playing the number 10, Miami Heat, again in the fucking play-in tournament. I have a look at the scores. How are everything's going with that?
Oh, well, I watched that Magic and Hawks game. The Magic, they're just too big, too physical for the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks can't defend shit. They're really just an offensive team. And the Magic, they're just well-versed, balanced attack from Franz and Paolo. They got great contributions off the bench from, what's his name, Cole Anthony. That's basically what happened, man. Magic just ran them out the gym.
Yeah.
The Hawks only made like 5 threes, I think. They were like 5 for 17 or some shit.
Damn.
4 for 21. I'm sorry. 4 for 21 from 3.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so that's where you lost the game right there.
They didn't want to win.
Yeah, can't say I'm surprised, but Atlanta still has a shot to make the 8th seed because this was for the 7th seed, so Orlando has officially locked up a 7th seed, matching them up with the Boston Celtics to go right back home in round 1.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not surprised there. I know what Bulls and Heat are, what, tomorrow?
Yep. Bulls and Heat play tomorrow.
Yeah. See, I have the Heat winning that shit. I don't give a fuck. I'm wearing a Chicago shirt. I don't give a fuck. This is what's going to happen in Chicago. They're going to be dead. I don't care. If we get past the Heat, we're still going to be dead. So it doesn't matter. But in this case, I'm going playoff Heat. I know the Bulls have been shooting well, but it comes to Heat in the playoffs, I still never bet against them. Regardless,
there's only one problem, though. They don't have Jimmy Butler.
I know, but we still don't know what that looks like as a playoff team without Jimmy Butler. Which
I know what that looks like as a regular season team, and it didn't look good at all. So give me the Bulls at home.
That's fair. I don't blame you. But again, this is one of those it won't even matter kind of series. Yay, you made it again, either team.
Yeah, you're going to get smacked by the Hawks, either one of them teams.
Smacked around. Just smacked around.
Because I'll take the Hawks over either of them.
Yeah, that shit is wild. But we'll see how that goes. And then the Western Conference play-in, the number 7 Golden State Warriors taking on the number 8 Memphis Grizzlies, and then the Kings at 9 taking on the Mavericks at 10.
Yeah, so obviously I'm going to pick the Warriors. Fucking the Grizzlies just fired their coach.
Yeah,
they're just kind of in shambles as an organization. They were actually 2nd in the West just a couple months ago, and they've fallen all the way to the fucking 8th seed. So that just shows you what kind of role they're on right now. And then you look on the other side with Jimmy Butler and the Golden State Warriors. I forgot what their record was. It's probably like 20 and like 5 or 6 with Jimmy Butler. So yeah. The Warriors are up right now 20-16. I expect the Warriors to not give up this lead at all during this game. I think the Warriors win big.
Yeah, then, I'm the same boat with that too.
And then with what's his name? The Mavericks, And the weak ass, what's the other team? Oh, the Kings.
The weak ass. That's all you knew about it.
The weak ass Kings. I call them the weak ass Kings because every time I put money on them, they play like ass. But every time I put money against them, they play like Kobe and Mike.
Yes.
So fuck them. If Anthony Davis plays, I got the Mavericks. I'm going to just go out and say that.
Okay.
I don't think the Kings have an answer for Anthony Davis, and I think Anthony Davis will dominate all day long against the Kings front line. But if they don't have Anthony Davis, then I'm going to go with the Kings. I think DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine will put any one of them Dallas Maverick defenders in an isolation box and cook.
Yeah.
That's pretty much going to be the game. They'll just be the more talented team. That's how they'll win. But again, like I said, Anthony Davis, that's the one to look out for.
I totally agree. I have the Kings winning it too, just because I'm liking what I'm seeing from LaVine and DeRozan. So like when I saw them play against the Pistons, that was to me like, okay, they're finding their rhythm. Cool. But you were saying it's more the Pistons being terrible that game, which is very fair. I like the Kings in this setting. They've had some experience now as an organization in the playoffs with some success. So at least early on, I could see it, maybe one and done, but that's about as far as I'm going with that. I think Warriors easily, I think they might make a fucking run of this and no one's talking about it, at least on my point of view, from a casual standpoint. The Warriors are, I hate saying they're a sneaky team, but like they kind of are.
At this point, they are, because they're what, the seventh seed?
Yeah, like they're just kind of under the radar, but good God, they're playing like they're going to bust anyone's ass right now. So, all right, so let's look at this Western Conference a little closely, as if those predictions were going to go on, and then I want to see kind of where you think it's going to go from there. So, the play-in winner, you know, if it is the Kings, whoever, they're taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Do you think any of these play-in?
No.
Okay. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, this is Oklahoma City. Yeah, they're probably going to the finals. So, yeah, this play-in invitational is to get sent right back home.
Exactly. Okay. I was making sure we're on the same page about that because I'm like, I don't see anybody remotely touching Oklahoma City right now on that side. My God.
No.
So the Houston Rockets would get the other play-in team. So probably the Warriors in all rights. How do you see Warriors Rockets going?
See, this is going to be a very, very tough matchup for the Rockets. But this is also a very tough matchup for the Warriors. Last time they played, Steph didn't score 10 points. So that shows you the type of perimeter defenders that the Houston Rockets have. Honestly, in this series, I would actually favor the Golden State Warriors because they have the experience. I think Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry on the same team in a 7-game series, along with Draymond Green as the instigator. That just seems like a fucking headache to deal with as an opposing coach. But if there's any team that's up for the challenge, it's the Houston Rockets. They got the toughness, they got the grit, and they got the defensive mindset. That's all led by their head coach, Ime Udoka. They're led by a duo of Alperen Sengun and Jalen Green. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, y'all, but I believe they both average 20 points apiece. So very good production out of those two all year long. And then, again, you look at their wings. I always say this on this show. You need wings in today's game to compete. They got Amen Thompson. They got Jabari Smith. I almost said Jabari Walker. Jabari Smith Jr. They got Tari Eason. They got Dylan Brooks, who, mind you, has beef with the Warriors already from his Grizzly days. You know what I'm saying? And Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green again. List goes on and on. So, great series, but I'm a favor of the Warriors. I'd pick the Warriors in 7 games. But I will say this. Do not be surprised if the Houston Rockets win.
I wouldn't be surprised, but my money's definitely on the Warriors. I have Warriors in 6 in this one. And again, Butler's that X factor, in my opinion. I think the Rockets are going to give them a lot of fucking problems. But like, I'm banking on the Warriors, honestly, making a run at this. And I think the Rockets, there's a first real challenge for them, toughen them up a little more grit, but I think Warriors cruise here. 6 games, fought well, but I think it's a decent, decent series win for them.
I think cruise is insane.
I said cruise, and I immediately meant something else. Like, ooh, not cruise. Like, decent win. Like, 4.
I think you need to go watch a couple Rockets highlights. I think
I usually underestimate the Rockets.
I think you're really disrespecting them.
Historically is what I'm basing it off of, though. So again, but look, casual.
They're not the same team they were. When's the last time you watched the Rockets?
I'd say probably 2 years ago.
Jalen Green is not the same player he was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he was averaging what? 15 points a game? 16 points a game?
Yeah.
He's a 22-point per game scorer now. So please.
Okay.
I would
say. That's fair.
I would say put some more respect on the Rockets, but that's fair. Just my opinion.
That's a fair point because I know I ain't been watching them, but I know whenever I've seen them in the playoffs, it's been a letdown. So I'm going off of history here, but. And an overabundance of respect for the Warriors and Jimmy Butler. So that's
again,
really
I'm gonna say
from.
It, and I'm gonna say it again. It's a different organization now, different head coach, different GM. You have to keep that in mind.
Okay, that's fair. Let's go to the Los Angeles Lakers and the Minnesota Timberwolves with your boy Rudy Gobert.
Ooh, boy! All right, so I actually have analysis for these matchups because the other matchups aren't set in stone yet.
Oh, sure. Good point.
So, in the last 21 games, did you know the Minnesota Timberwolves are 17-4? Did you know that the Minnesota Timberwolves are riding an 8-game win streak? And did you also know that the chemistry between Julius Randle and the rest of the Minnesota Timberwolves have been improving game by game? Probably not.
I didn't know that.
Nobody really watches the Minnesota Timberwolves but an NBA nerd like myself. The Minnesota Timberwolves are an excellent road team against the spread and record-wise. They have 25 wins at home. They got 24 wins on the road. To put that shit in perspective, the Lakers have 31 wins at home, and they're under 500 on the road, just to put that in perspective.
Gotcha.
The Lakers in their last 21 games, though, 10-11, but asterisks by it, LeBron, Luka, in and out of the lineup for rest and stuff like that. JJ's done great in his first season, slowed the pace. Net rating has gone up, has doubled from last season, and they're up 3 wins from last year. So I just wanted to bring this point up before I get into a deeper analysis. You know, LeBron James was averaging only 24 points per game. You know, that's the lowest since his rookie year, 03-04. That's insane to think about because the man just turned 40. Crazy. All right. Now, I believe this is going to be a great matchup. Position by position, I feel like both teams can play big or play small and match up very well against each other. But the key in this series for the Minnesota Timberwolves is going to be Julius Randle. When the good Julius Randle shows up, the one that came up and gave you a fucking triple-double damn near against the Memphis Grizzlies, the one that gave you like 27-9-8 against the Denver Nuggets and won both of those games. If that Julius Randle shows up, the Lakers can get him bounced in the first round. But the problem with Julius Randle is he's inconsistent. And that's one reason why I'm not picking the Minnesota Timberwolves to win this series. And another reason why I believe the Minnesota Timberwolves will not win this series is because I believe JJ Redick will find a way to keep Rudy Gobert on the court, get him switched on to Luka, get him switched on to AR, to get him switched on to LeBron, and get his ass cooked. And on the flip side, if they end up, Minnesota ends up taking Rudy Gobert out of the game, I believe that the Lakers small ball lineup with Rui Hachimura, DFS, Luka, AR, and LeBron is better than the Naz Reid, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, and Mike Conley lineup. I'm sorry. I'm taking that lineup. So I believe the Lakers are just a more talented team. They got more firepower to go alongside of Luka and LeBron. I feel like sometimes Ant is by himself when Julius Randle isn't shooting the ball well. That's not to discredit any of the role players because Dante DiVincenzo's been playing great in spurts. Nikhil Alexander-Walker's hitting big shots all year. But there's a difference between those two dudes and Austin Reeves and LeBron James. So give me the Lakers. I got Lakers 4-2.
I like it. I'm actually going Lakers 4-3 in that one because I do think it's going to be a nice matchup for both sides. Like, really good ball on both. Seeing LeBron and Luka out here in a playoff game is going to be very fucking interesting, but I feel like you're going to get the best of Luka in this series, and that's what I'm banking on, but I think it will take 7 in probably a great series. Looking forward to it. This next one, the last one in the West, I'm actually looking forward to a lot as well, surprisingly. It's the Denver Nuggets and the LA Clippers. It's highlighted as it's one of the most exciting first-round matchups, I think, in my opinion, but it comes down to Jamal Murray. How healthy is he? Do we get 100%? Is he good enough at this point? I have it as like Nuggets in six or seven, but this is iffy for me. I think Clippers are gonna give him a real good fucking series.
Hold up. Let me ask you this. Do you know the Lakers? Do you know the Clippers? Do you know the Clippers record over their last 22 games?
No.
19-3. They're the hottest team in the NBA right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know they only allow 108 points per game? That's fourth in the league.
Damn.
They shoot 37% from three. League average is 35.
Damn.
In that 22 game stretch, Kawhi has scored 20 points in 17 of the 18 games that he's played. So I mean to tell y'all, go scream it on the top of the mountains. Kawhi Leonard is back.
Woo! We missed you.
James Harden, been back. He's been having a turning a Rockets James Harden during this season because Kawhi's been out. He only played 30 some odd games and they still won 50 games.
Crazy.
And Norman Powell, who actually led them in scoring, was hurt for a lot of the year as well. That's why he's ineligible to win Most Improved Player. So James Harden has had one of his better seasons in his career, might I add. Like I said earlier, they have Norman Powell, who's a 20-point-per-game scorer. And last but not least, their X factor, Zubac. Zubac is my Most Improved Player. He's averaging about 17-13. The other night, he had 20-17 or some crazy shit like that. People underrate the fuck out of Zubac because when they watch the Clippers, they only watch their perimeter players.
Mm.
Zubac is going to make Jokic work defensively. And you brought up a great point. Jamal Murray's health. But you know what? I'm going to give you a better point. Jokic and Murray need to be perfect in order to win this series.
Mm.
Let me repeat that. Jokic and Murray need to be perfect in order to win this series. And that's not going to happen. This series is going to be over real quick. This is a terrible matchup for the Denver Nuggets. Who's going to guard who? I'm going to ask you, since you think the Nuggets are going to win, who's going to guard who? Who's guarding Harden?
That I don't know. I was going to say Zubac and Jokic was the matchup I was looking forward to the most. I'm actually banking that off of Jokic just finding old Jokic. That's and the only reason I'm giving it to him.
Obviously, Jokic is going to win that matchup, right?
Right.
So okay, what about everyone
who's
else?
Who's guarding Harden? Yeah.
Who's guarding Harden?
Guard him? That I don't know. Damn, who would guard? Yeah, I don't know.
Who's guarding Kawhi?
No idea.
Who's guarding Norman Powell?
What is that? Oh, no idea. What the fuck is that? Sorry, phone did something stupid.
Oh, weird. But yeah, that's exactly why the LA Clippers are going to win this series easily. Clippers in five games, shot making, depth, defense, and coaching advantage. Who the fuck is coaching the Nuggets?
Nobody fucking knows.
They're fucking shot.
You must say Jokic was coaching. Jokic was coaching the last time I saw.
Yeah, they're shot. They're just as shot as the Grizzlies. Yeah.
What is with the coaches being gone by the playoffs? It's so weird.
Yeah, it's because teams are trying to destroy their franchise.
I don't get it. Like, what? Anyway, that's so fucking weird. All right, we'll see. We'll see about that. Feeling good about Nuggets. I know, but I think Nuggets season five. $5 foot long. All right, let's move to the East. East might be a little clearer, but we'll go from there because the Cavaliers are just sitting very pretty right now. And I think most experts are expecting them to wash whoever comes out of the play-in.
Yeah.
4-1. Probably skip past that shit.
Yep.
Same with the Celtics here. Heavily favored. But probably
goodbye, Magic.
Bye, Magic. Or, I mean, if they don't snipe them completely, gentlemen's fucking...
I'll get Paolo one game. I'll get Paolo one game.
What? I was going to say, yeah. Gentlemen sweep. There it is. So those two, it is what it is. I'm curious how you feel about Pacers and Bucks, especially now that Lillard is out for this first game at least. So how do the Bucks, if they can, get past the Pacers?
This is going to be a very exciting series.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the harder series for me to pick, and this is why. Indiana is 6-1 in the month of April. Milwaukee's riding an 8-game winning streak into the playoffs, and this is all without Damian Lillard. Both teams are hot. Giannis is playing some of the best ball he's ever played in his career. He's over here pulling up for midi like he's KD, hitting step backs and shit, fadeaways in the post, and still dunking on you. So, like, Giannis has damn near become an unguardable force in the NBA. But the Pacers just have one of the most efficient offenses in the NBA. They generate shots for everyone. I think if my memory serves me right, when I was looking at it earlier, they got 8 guys that average over 10 points per game. One thing that works in Milwaukee's favor, though, is that they're 3-1 against the Pacers this season. And their lone win was off of a Tyrese Halliburton game winner in Indy. So you can almost call that a fluke. They almost 4-0. They almost swept them in the regular season. But the key to this series, in my opinion, is going to be the consistency of these two guys. For the Milwaukee Bucks is going to be Kyle Kuzma. Did you know, in his Bucks uniform, when he plays the Indiana Pacers, he's only averaging 8.5 points per game. That Kuz can't show up. Kuz has to realize he's being paid and he's being played to be the third best player on this team. And he needs to start playing like it or else this team is not going anywhere. And Tyrese Halliburton, another inconsistent player, but when he's great, he's great. He's averaging 20-10 at home, only 18-8 on the road. Against Milwaukee, his last 10 games, though, he's only averaging 16-9.
Wow.
So, again, I'm going to say it like this. Same thing for him. They need good Halliburton to show up. If good Halliburton shows up, I think consistently that is, I think Pacers take care of business in 5 games. But I don't think that happens. I think Halliburton's going to be inconsistent in the series, but I think the Pacers being the higher seed and having home court advantage will win them the series. I'm taking the Pacers in 7 games because of coaching, home court advantage, and better role players. But if you ask me if I'm confident in that pick, I'm really not.
Because I'm like the same where I'm iffy, especially knowing that Lillard's, I mean, I know they're doing well without him, but with him, you got to have Dame on board too. But I have Bucks in 7, but man, again, I'm on the same boat. I'm not feeling good about it. I think you do need Giannis to unfortunately put the team on his back a bit here to get past this fucking Pacers team. It is just what it is. Halliburton's going to get his. Whether he's inconsistent or not, you know he's going to get some. So Giannis has to be the guy for another series. I know he's tired. I know he's tired of it. But this is what champions are made of, bro. At least get Dame back. If he's coming back, buy him some time. But I think they take care of business in 7, but it's going to be a Herculean effort.
Yeah, you know, I could definitely see it. Giannis could turn into Superman and win the series.
Right. I think he's going to have to.
Even without Lillard.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. This is a coin flip series. Honestly, I don't feel comfortable betting on any other team, putting my money on either of these teams if I'm, you know, betting with the spread and shit. So, none of these teams are touching my parlays.
Yes, put that on record, folks. He's not putting any of his actual money on it.
Nope.
God. All right. That brings us to the elephant in the room.
You know what it is. What up, though?
Of course. There's one last series in this conference. And after a long year of us talking a lot of shit about these teams and a lot of analysis, too, my New York Knicks are facing this man's Detroit Pistons in a best of 7 series in the Eastern Conference series. Let's get into analysis for this. You already know which sides we're picking here, but I am curious to know why. Why you specifically know, the Pistons are going to beat my Knicks?
I actually want to hear from you first because I know I can be a little long-winded with my analysis, especially when it comes to the Detroit Pistons. So I want to hear why you think the Knicks are going to handle business against the Detroit Pistons.
Okay, that's fair. So, I mean, from what I understand, this is the first time in like 3 decades that these two teams have faced off in a playoff series. So the history there is like, you know, it's not a lot of it at all for me to base any kind of intrigue on. But regular season, Pistons, you know, they got the Knicks number, 3-1, you know. 2 of those at the Garden. Cade Cunningham bust their ass, and he was averaging like 30 points in those matchups. So I get it. Cade's got the Knicks number. The Knicks, 50-28. For the record, got 3rd in the East. I think they're offensively efficient. They're ranking 5th in the league. I think their defense is decent, not elite, but good enough. They're 13th defensive efficiency. They're not great at the rebounding, but it's about Jalen Brunson and it's about Cat. And I think those two, if you're getting the best of those two, the Knicks can handle business here. It's going to be a dogfight. And I think with their recent playoff experience, the Eastern semifinals last year and 2023. So, like, they've been here now. There's some experience here. And the Pistons, don't let me get it twisted, the Pistons are doing great. You know, as much as you don't think they are, they're doing great from a casual point of view. But my thing is this. That's all regular season head-to-head stuff. That's all Pistons, of course. I think playoffs are different. I think Cunningham, you need him to be a Superman. He has to be the same dominant force. I know you think he's going to be, but with the experience factor, does he crumble a little bit under it? We don't know. It's a lot of question marks still. The offensive firepower, Pistons can match up. They have good defense too. They have the home court advantage when they end, but the Knicks have home court advantage this time. So, like, that could play a factor more than it did in the regular season. You never know. Again, it's not that I'm taking away from the Pistons. I just think in a playoff environment, there's a few more question marks than there are for the Knicks. I know, he's already shaking his head too. But despite all that, I have the Knicks winning in six. But I think you're getting, like, the best Pistons team you've seen against them in a long time, and they're going to have to really fucking earn it. But I think Brunson and Cat are up for the task, and I'm just going off of that.
All right. That's fair. I just wanted to bring this up to you. Did you know the Pistons are 2-0 at the Garden this year?
Yeah, I said it.
So home court advantage ain't going to mean shit. I'm sorry. Home court advantage ain't going to mean shit.
It's regular season versus playoff home court advantage.
How you guarding Cade?
Here we go. I'm not guarding him.
It's a legit question. I can oppose this question to you.
You would put Cat on him, wouldn't you?
No, he would be barbecue chicken, bro.
Barbecue chicken. See, I don't know who you'd put on him.
And neither do the Knicks, because Cade has dropped 236 points in the Garden on him. So neither do the Knicks. All right. And that's exactly why the Pistons are going to win this game. Cade owns the fucking New York Knicks, and Cade owns them in the Garden. It showed in the regular season, and you're going to see this shit again. In all four games that they played this year, who was the best player on the court?
It's your boy, Cade.
Cade Cunningham was the best player on the court in every single game. It wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't.
And what happened in that last game they played in Detroit? Knicks were up, what? Double digits. And guess what happened? The big boys came out. Jalen Duren and Beef Stew. And they took his soft ass right out of the game mentally. Had him crying to the West. Oh, my God. Shut the fuck up. You too fucking big to be crying like that. This is exactly why the New York Knicks are not going to beat the Pistons in this series. They're too soft. They don't have enough depth. And you know what? Tibbs is going to coach his ass right out of this series. You know why? He refuses to play any more than five guys in a rotation. He is slaving his starters. His starters are fucking exhausted. You know this because you've seen this shit in Chicago.
Yeah, they're tired as fuck. But they got a lot of grit. They got a lot of heart, man.
So give me the Pistons in this series. I don't give a damn what the fuck it is. New York Knicks, Prize Picks, laying bricks. Pistons in six.
What the fucking poetry? Okay. I like the confidence. Let me propose a wager of sorts. One that we've never done before. Since you're so confident in your team.
You know it.
The loser of this bet, no matter what it is, I don't care how it ends up, just straight up wins and losses. The loser of this bet must pick the worst player on the opposite team. And on the episode after the series concludes, you must perform a 3-minute speech describing how that player is going to be a future Hall of Famer. Full chested.
Done.
Done. Who's the worst player on the Knicks? Tyler Kolek. No, I'm kidding. I just looked at his fucking name.
No, he's cold. I like Kolek. He went to Marquette. Yeah. He's got some G, man.
Yeah. Oh, the one person I pick goes to Marquette. That's hilarious.
Yeah, he went to Marquette. He's pretty cold, man. He's going to be a good guard. He was hooping in the G League.
Yeah?
Hooping in the G League, yes.
Well, he's going to bust their ass this time.
You can tell I watch basketball. God damn.
No, you do. God. Mark, he was like, oh, he's from Marquette. His favorite color is purple. He likes fucking spaghetti, and he likes his mom. So I was like, wow.
When he drives left, he steps back, spins, right. And then he normally dishes after that. That's, he
drives a Nissan Altima. Like, bro, touch some grass, man. All right, that's fair. I like the bet. It's going to be interesting. So with all that being said, instead of going through all the rest of the brackets and shit, how do you feel this whole playoff is going to end up? Who is your winner this year? Is it same as when you started the season? Has it changed? Is it just the Pistons no matter what? Who's winning it?
No, because I'm actually a fan of the game of basketball. So I understand that although the Pistons are at a great advantage against the New York Knicks, they're not at a great advantage against the Boston Celtics. The Cavs, we can give the Cavs a run, but even then, we're not that good of a matchup against them because we don't have the three-point shooting powers to match up with them. So I'm actually realistic about this. The Knicks are just fucking soft as shit, so I ain't worried about them. But I think I had the Lakers coming out of the West when we first started or first made these predictions.
Yeah.
Predictions. And I'm standing by it.
Interesting.
I'm taking the Lakers, man. I'm gonna be a man of my word. I know I really like the Oklahoma City Thunder, but when I think deeply about it, I think the Lakers just will beat them in a 7-game series if they match up. Mm. Luka and LeBron in a 7-game series, that's just hell to deal with, man. Like I don't think people understand how it is playing against LeBron James, because you're not just playing against him on the basketball court. You're also playing against him on the chessboard, and you're also playing against him mentally. And LeBron is the best to ever do it mentally and on the chessboard. So give me the Lakers out the West, and out the East, I got Boston. Boston's still the class of the East.
Yeah,
ain't nobody fucking with Boston, man. They can play any style you want with Kristaps Porzingis. He's going to bring your five man right out of the paint, cause so many matchup problems on switches. I love the way they dump the ball up to Kristaps Porzingis in the post when he gets mismatches up against small guards. Give me the Celtics in the East, Lakers in the West for a classic NBA Finals. And I got LeBron James winning another ring. Wow. Alongside Luka Don and AR-15.
I think Mavericks fans would literally drown themselves. Like, they'd be bad. That'd be a bad night in Dallas if Luka.
Oh, they wouldn't drown themselves. They'll drown that GM.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They'd run his ass out of town. Oh, my God. But, yeah, Luka getting traded and then winning a championship in L.A. would be banana sandwich. Bananas. In pajamas. But we'll see. We'll see. You and your Lakers, I swear. Like, you have this LeBron thing where he's just going to win everything all the time.
No, you just got to be – look, you just got to watch a game of basketball and be real. Like, this Lakers team is – it's really OD.
I like him a lot with Luka.
The pressure that was immediately taken off of Austin Reeves' shoulders.
Yeah.
You noticed that shit right away.
It was immediate.
Because it's no longer, you know, D'Lo – and him in the backcourt. It's Luka and him. So it's like, oh, I'm going to get a whole lot of one-on-one opportunities.
I'm good.
Yeah. I'm comfy. And I mean, don't get me wrong. AD's a huge loss, and that's going to hurt him in some ways. But let's be real. Luka actually plays in games. He's not injured.
That's true. Or fat.
And Luka is the better player.
That's for damn sure.
So, man, Lakers, bro.
Okay. I don't remember who the fuck I picked in the early season.
Maybe OKC, maybe Denver. Denver or OKC.
Yeah, because I feel like I said Denver, but I like OKC just because they're amazing. Yeah. I'm gonna switch then. I do have OKC in the finals. I'm picking the Celtics to win this again. Like you said, they're the class of the East. They have the best overall roster depth, in my opinion. Elite role players, top tier defense, playoff experience, and they got over the hump last season with a championship. Like, The chemistry's there, the coaching's there. The Thunder, great. I'm praying for an OKC Boston Finals. That'd be so fucking lights out. But other than them, Lakers, maybe Nuggets if you get a nuclear Jokic. Other than that, I don't see anybody else holding up, really. So
Hold on. I'm sorry. I just had to interject. The Nuggets ain't got no shot.
I know they don't. I'm saying because I picked them earlier, I gotta stick with it for now.
Okay. Yes, I got you.
I'm a man of my word. Okay. Because I bet that off of nuclear Jokic, MVP Jokic. That's the only reason I'm giving them anything. But I'm just sticking by that. I know they don't really have a shot, though. But the other teams definitely don't have a shot either. So, like, to me, I think...
I wouldn't say they don't have a shot. I think the Warriors have a better shot than the Nuggets. The Rockets have a better shot than the Nuggets. Every team in the West has a better shot than the Nuggets.
He said Nuggets? No. Okay, so anybody else in the
West? I'm sorry. Except for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies and the Nuggets, they're shot.
No shot.
Yeah.
You forget about the Grizzlies.
Every other team, bro, I'll take Clippers. I'll take Timberwolves. I'll take...
Really? Timberwolves over Boston?
No. I'm saying over the Nuggets in the West.
Oh, sure. No, I'm saying anybody can't hang out with the finals, like the Celtics. Nobody gets past the Celtics. I don't think anybody gets past the Thunder, like regardless of who wins the series. Okay.
You're saying that comes out the West doesn't have a shot against the Celtics.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. That's what I'm getting at. Those are the gatekeepers, in my opinion. So I think we get that finals. I'm going Boston, running it back. Just based alone on all that shit. They're fucking deep, man.
Yeah, they are. You know, yeah, I mean, shit.
What can you say?
Last of these. I mean, fuck. But honestly, I think, look, I'll say this, man, and I'll leave it at that. I've seen LeBron James come back down 3-1 in the NBA Finals to the best regular season team of all time. They won 73 games, bro. Not 72, not like them weak-ass Bulls. 73.
Oh, yeah.
I mean to be that disrespectful. It wasn't no weak-ass Bulls.
Wow. I was just going to let it slide. I was like,
okay. I mean, I didn't want to be this. No. I'm just talking shit because like, I'm an old hater. I'm just talking like, shit, y'all. They won 72 games, man. They won 72 games.
72 ain't shit anymore, I guess. Damn.
Nope, because the Warriors won 73. just like how Kobe's 5 rings ain't shit because Jordan got 6, right?
I never said that. What?
No, I'm just opposing that point.
No, I would hope that's not someone's real argument. That's insane. That's insane.
Well, what's the first argument people always say about Jordan? 6 rings in the finals, 6 appearances.
Sure, but I never use that as a discredit to other people's championships. Like, what?
Yeah,
but now, if you have no rings, that's a different story.
But you know, I seen LeBron come back against that team.
That's true.
With Kyrie Irving and Luka Don is, dare I say, better than Kyrie Irving?
I mean, there's an argument for it.
Dare I say better than Kyrie Irving? Like, you can make that argument. And no one will really bat an eye. You can say Kyrie at that time was better than Luka at this time. Nobody would really bat an eye. Some people would, actually. No, some people would. I'm tripping. Yeah, some people would. And so, yeah, you give me that with LeBron, man. Ah, man, people who understand levels of basketball understand the mental game that LeBron has. And that's just what I'm banking this off of, man. LeBron in a 7-game series is not fun. And he finally has the running mates to do it with.
That's true. That part is like the Luka thing. It makes me so intrigued by it all. That's, man, like what a partner to have out there. So,
yeah.
Again, Dallas, what the fuck were you? That still just baffles me. Like, what were you thinking? What were you thinking?
Lord have mercy, man.
Wow. Boneheads. Anyway, moving on to the last subject of the night. Just some quick hits for this past weekend's UFC 314. We didn't make any shot bets on it. I know I was busy anyway, but there were some exciting fights, at least on paper, on the card. Quick hits, and then we'll go into just the last two, the co-main and the main. At featherweight, Yair Rodriguez defeated Patricio Pitbull by unanimous decision. Rodriguez, dominant performance over the two-division Bellator champion, making his UFC debut. But Yair, we're a fan on the show, so he was going to handle business.
Yes, sir. Just slightly disappointed he didn't get the finish, but, man, he put pretty good fight on.
Yeah, I liked it. At featherweight, John Silva defeated Bryce Mitchell by submission with a ninja choke. That was crazy.
Choked his ass
round, choked his ass right out. Strong statement. And Mitchell, I mean, he had a lot of hype going in too. So this is a big win for Silva.
Man, those fighting nerds are crazy, man. Those fighting nerds might all be champions one day together.
I think they're going to be, I think. They're everywhere now. It's crazy. Light heavyweight, Dominic Reyes defeated Nikita Krylov by knockout. Nice little punch on him at 224 in the first round. Back in the win column. First round knockout. Very nice.
Yeah, you know, good bounce back victory for an old John Jones rival. Good to see him get a dub again. You know, he's been kind of on a decline. So good to see him battle some adversity to get another dub.
Absolutely. Now, for the co-main, because this one of these men has been a divisive category for us to discuss in the show before. At lightweight, it was Paddy Pimblett defeating Michael Chandler by TKO in the third round in a big step-up win for Pimblett against a seasoned vet, getting up to 8th place in the rankings now. So I want to know your thoughts on the fight and the speculation on what's next for him.
Yeah, no, I feel like this fight had – don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to take anything away from Paddy. I think Paddy showed that he's a legit 55er. But I think this fight shows how ass Michael Chandler is.
I'm so disappointed, too.
I'm not surprised at all.
I liked him outside of the UFC, though. I thought he was going to come in and make some noise, but fuck, man.
Nah, bro, he has some of the lowest fight IQ I've ever seen in my life. How are you letting Paddy control you on the ground, bro?
That was messed. That's messed up,
bro. Michael Chandler walking around like at least 205, bro. His ass cutting down to 155 to make weight. He probably rehydrated up to 180, 185, 190 maybe. You letting fucking Patty Pimblett hold you down, bro? How? You stung him in round one, and after that, you were just gassed.
Right.
Aren't you supposed to be some type of workout warrior, bro? You should probably just quit fighting and do CrossFit or some shit.
That Tybo.
Look, and even in his previous fight, I'll go back talking about his IQ in his previous fight. Remember when he slammed Charles Oliveira?
Yes,
on his back?
Crazy.
What the fuck was the point of that?
I don't know.
You wasted so much fucking energy. That's why your gas tank is shit, because you don't know how to manage your energy. You got too much energy for your own fucking good. I'm glad Patty stopped him. I'm glad Patty got the win. I'm not even a Patty fan, but Patty helped himself in the rankings. Patty showed he's a real 55er. And you know what? You know who I want to see Patty fight next? And he's not at 55. He's at 70. I want to see him beat the shit out of Colby Covington.
Oh, yes. They already kind of teased that shit. Please. That'd be the one fight I actually root hard for Patty on that one.
Yes.
Put his ass to sleep, Patty.
Yes.
Trying to stay relevant again. He confronted him backstage after the win. I said, bro, you really going to try to shoehorn your way into another high-profile match knowing your ass ain't done nothing to earn it just from talking?
You're going to get fucked up.
So stupid. There's one guy I'd like to see. Let me see Pimblett and Dan Hooker. I want to see it. I want to see it. Hooker's on a 3-fight win streak. He's tough. He's experienced at lightweight. That's a big test. You want to show us that you really got something, Patty? Dan Hooker is your uncle, motherfucker. Dan Hooker put you in a blender. So that's if you're trying to prove to me that Patty's the guy, I want to see him against a road dog like Dan Hooker.
He would more than likely be a wrestler in that fight.
I mean,
I don't think he would want to stand with Dan Hooker, bro.
Well, show it to me then. Take him out. But Dan Hooker give you nightmares, bro.
Who do you think would be favored in that fight?
Like Vegas-wise?
Sure.
Yeah, because I'm like, I feel like they're going to give it to Patty as a – they're going to make Dan Hooker an underdog, and I don't think that's respectful. Because honestly, Patty's all hype right now. But Dan Hooker, in my opinion, I'm putting my money on him.
Yeah, I would take Dan Hooker as an underdog. My money would go on Dan Hooker as an underdog.
Right.
And I would bet that 9 times out of 10.
Right. So I'm with you. Like, I'm not a Patty fan at all. This was a big win, but I agree. It's kind of did worse for Michael Chandler, if anything. But to Patty, you know, hey, let's see some real tests now. He's got something.
If you think about it, if you look at Chandler compared to like the top of this division, because that's where he actually was not too long ago.
Right.
That's where he was considered to be by most. The levels are just, he's just so far behind those dudes. So far behind Gaethje. So far behind Poirier. So far behind Islam. Fuck. Like, so far behind Charles. Mm. So, man, and you see how far behind he is from Patty. So, you can only imagine.
I can see, Chandler just, boy, that's not a great run for him right now. So, I mean, you may not be surprised. I was like, what the fuck? But
Hooker, bro. Who has he beaten in the UFC? Tony Ferguson and a dehydrated Dan Hooker. That's it.
Let's say, man, the beef jerky version of Dan Hooker. That was about it, really. I still think Hooker and Patty would be interesting.
That's a banger.
Give me somebody like, put him with Gamrot. Put him with Dariush. Like, shit.
Dariush, that's a good matchup.
Like, shit, man. Dariush, that's another vet in the top 10. Well-rounded skill set. That's another step up if he wants to prove himself. These are step-ups. I don't think he can fight 10 cans anymore.
I don't think he wants to. He wants to fight young fighters. He said that.
He wants to. Yeah, okay. I don't think if you put him in there with like an Oliveira, I think Oliveira waxes him. I think Gaethje eats him for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you give him someone like Sarukian, I don't see Patty on that level.
Oh, that's who I didn't mention.
See?
Sarukian will fuck Patty up.
Right. Like, dude, on both ends, wrestling and striking. Like, I think Sarukian outclasses him.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's just, I don't know. I think Hooker's your best bet. If you're trying to make a statement without shooting too fucking high, you go with Hooker. No disrespect to Hooker, but the rest of those names.
Right. You're saying if you can beat him, right.
Then we go there. But if you try to give anybody more high profile, you're probably gonna expose him. You're gonna expose your boy.
Yeah.
And Dana can't take any more L's for his boys after the sugar Sean O'Malley shit.
Yeah. Marab dominated.
Yeah. He can't take any more L's with his golden boys, so I don't like it. Last but not least, the main event for the vacant featherweight championship, Alex Volkanovski, another VR fan here as well, defeated Diego Lopez by unanimous decision to claim his second featherweight championship. And this title was vacant after Ilia Topuria won it. He beat Volkanovski, I think UFC 298 or so, and then defended it like one time, I think, and then moved up to the lightweight division. So title is up for grabs, set the stage for Volk to come back and take on Diego Lopez, who was on a hot streak as well on his own. Volkanovski's always been in title fights, but Lopez was getting his first shot at the belt, but he's on a five-fight winning streak. So this was interesting on paper for both these guys, and I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I didn't put any money down on this shit at all. But how do you think the fight went, sir?
This fight was really confusing. Before I get into my analysis, I was actually going to post something, this bet that I put on this fight, but I wasn't confident in it at all, and I did not feel comfortable telling people to bet with me because the odds – If you're a sports bettor out there, you know what I mean when I say this. The line kept reverse moving. The line kept reverse moving in the favor of Volkanovski. So that's where I was like, whoa. But I already had put my bet in, so it was too late. So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to recommend people betting with me. Mm. And the fight was extremely confusing. How come the shorter fighter fought on the outside and was dominating with his jab, but the taller fighter was the one trying to walk him down, get close, and throw big hooks? That made no sense to me. Because as a taller fighter, you should use your wingspan to your advantage, fight off your jab, and throw combinations behind that. And, you know, Diego Lopez is a great jiu-jitsu fighter. I thought he was going to, you know, use his jiu-jitsu behind his jab and stuff like that. But none of that happened. He stung Volk a couple times, but for the most part, Volk dominated this fight and just racked up the points with his jab and his combinations. Mm-hmm. This was a perfectly executed game plan from Volk. Nothing spectacular or anything. This is typical Volk that we're, you know, used to seeing. And you can tell the difference in energy that Volk had compared to when he returned early from that knockout loss from Islam and then got knocked out again by Ilya. And then on the flip side, in my opinion, I thought Diego Lopez looked a little drained. Mm-hmm. He didn't look as explosive or as full, as rehydrated as he looked when he fought Brian Ortega. And I think that may have played a factor in the fight. But nonetheless, man, Volk dominated this fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially those first three rounds, it felt like Volk was just dominating. Like the striking was real crisp. The right hand, the jab was really in there. I mean, the takedowns were all good. He managed distance well. He was landing cleaner shots. And you could tell Lopez is getting, like, frustrated in the first, you know, at times in the first few rounds. So I knew Volk was kind of throwing him off his game plan a bit. You know, Lopez was looking a little better in round four. You know, got that nice uppercut I remember him hitting. And Volk, you know, got cut. And he was starting to really, like, favor that shit a lot, too. So he was keeping the pressure on. I thought it was going to start turning a bit at that point. But then, yeah, round five, Volk just sealed it up and got control back. And, you know, Lopez was still trying to get some pressure and getting a brawl here and there, but like the footwork was on point. And I think Volk just, like you said, just crisp, concise. The plan to the entire fight was evident and he just executed it perfectly. And that unanimous decision, the scores kind of showed it too. So I don't think there's any controversy at this one. Volk definitely deserves to be champion again. Again, we're a big fan here. So congrats to him, but yeah, not a surprising fight, but a decent one.
Yeah, it was a good fight. I was just a little let down, not because Diego Lopez lost, but I was expecting more fireworks from this main event.
Yeah, because Lopez, I saw that Ortega fight. That was a burner, too. So we know what Volk can do, so I was looking for more. But yeah, this is, you know, I didn't think it was terrible. It was just more of like, oh, okay, he got the job done. Like he should have.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Let's finish it up with your two-minute drill.
All right, man. It's crazy because for this two-minute drill, I'm actually parlaying this with Rizzy's Risky Picks.
We like to cover our spreads and give underdogs some action. I'm talking about parlays, not dirty stuff, you freaks. Time for Rizzy's Risky Picks.
Let me give you a quick rundown of NBA playoff weekend this Saturday because the odds are already out there. And let me start with Milwaukee, Indiana. You're probably saying, Ryan, I thought you're not putting money on either of these teams. Well, thank the fuck Christ, I'm not. I'm actually putting money on both of these teams to go under the total of 225. Why? Because the under has hit in 61% of Milwaukee's games in which they were a road underdog. And on the flip side, the under has hit in 55% of the games where Indiana was actually a home favorite. So double whammy right here. Give me the under. Next playoff game this Saturday is the LA Clippers at the Denver Nuggets. And for this pick, you guessed it, I'm taking the LA Clippers with 2.5 points in my back pocket. Yes, they are 2.5 point underdogs, and I'm taking that. Denver covers only 46% of the time as home favorites. That's fucking pitiful. The Clippers cover as the road dog 52% of the time. And what did I just tell you earlier? The LA Clippers, they're the hottest team in the league. Go bet some money on them. Next game on the slate, we got the Detroit Pistons at the New York Knicks. I'm not taking the spread. I'm not taking the money line or anything in this game. There's only one thing I'm for sure about. It's going to be some points scored. And I'm taking the over on the total of 220.5. The over has hit in 56% of Detroit's games as a road underdog. New York has hit this 49% of the time at home. But there's a caveat to that. When you look at their points overall against the spread overall throughout the whole season, they're up 1.2 points on the spread to the over. That means they're actually going over even though they don't really hit the over as often. So give me the over in 220.5 in that Detroit-New York game. And last but not least, we got the Minnesota Timberwolves at the LA Lakers. LA Lakers are 4.5 point favorites, but guess what? I don't think they're going to cover that. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves cover the spread, but I think the Lakers cover the money line. The Lakers are going to win a tight game here because Minnesota as road dogs have covered the spread. Guess how many times? A whopping 64% of the time as road underdogs, they've covered the spread. And guess how many points they're up on the spread on the year? They're up almost 5 points on the spread on the season. That's insane. The Lakers, on the flip side, something that works in their favor, they've covered the spread 66% of the time as home favorites. But there's a caveat to that. Overall, against the spread, they're minus one on the year, meaning they're 1 point under the spread this season, although they've covered the spread in 66% of their games. So give me the Minnesota Timberwolves to cover that 4.5 points. Throw that shit in my back pocket. Shout out to the T-Wolves. Those are my picks this weekend. Please bet at your own risk. But don't forget, Rizzy told you.
Rizzy told you? Is that a new catchphrase? I'm minting that shit.
Hey, I just improvised that shit.
I liked it. That had some fucking panache to it. Man, oh man. I love a good underdog. I pick my sports teams based on underdogs. I bet on underdog. We hope underdog sponsors us. But do you know who else is an underdog? The Bank Bro Show. That's an underdog for you. We're underrated, baby. And you can help those ratings by going to The Bank Bro Show on YouTube, Facebook, Red Note, TikTok, wherever the fuck else we want to be. And give us those 5-star ratings. Give us those likes, those subscribes. And then tell all your friends about it. And then come back and see us next week when we get some more NBA action for you as these playoffs kick off. It's going to be hot and spicy, just like you like it. But until then, you know what it is. Bank Bros are in your city. Here for you as we always are. And you can bank on it. Peace. See you next week.
Where we're headed, no one knows. But if you need some friends,